Our top story this evening, the start of the school year here in the state of Florida could be delayed. The Florida Education Association, the big teachers union, is asking a judge for a temporary injunction to delay the start of the K-12 school year statewide this fall. Now, the union represents over 137,000 educators, and this could be a game changer. What do we know about the case that they're going to make to delay the school year?
So this has been going on since the middle of July when they filed this lawsuit, because as we started seeing school openings get closer and closer and the plans were coming out, everyone had this grand idea that August 10th is going to be the magic date, we'll be back to school. Well, of course, that was before the giant explosion of the coronavirus again here in Florida over the past month and a half or so. So in their lawsuit, the main thing that they want to see is in counties that have a percentage positivity rate for the coronavirus above 10%, they want to see the counties wait on opening schools until they have a two-week window where the positivity rate is consistently below 10%. So it's kind of like those CDC guidelines when they did all the gating criteria that you have to go 2 weeks with no new tests. That's central to their lawsuit in saying that no county should be opening if you don't meet that criteria. The second part of it is the guarantees that they want in terms of safety measures to be put in place. The mask wearing, the sanitization, all the different precautions that they need, temperature checks, limiting access
to visitors.
They want
that stuff uniform throughout the entire state, because right now each school district is coming up with their own plan.
Right, and every school district is doing something slightly different. I'm covering not only ones here in the Bay Area, but also the Orlando area and Jacksonville. So every plan slightly differs. We saw today where the teachers union in Pinellas County struck a deal and they got their own safety agreement with the Pinellas County School Board. This would be a uniform system statewide in order to force all the schools. Now, that being said, the schools that are already in that low positivity rate, they will be free to go ahead and open whenever they wanted to. But it was going to affect, obviously, you got Miami-Dade. They have no plans of reopening in person. They're probably going towards virtual learning. But those are counties that are on the cusp, like we are here, where it's kind of like above 10%, below 10%. You know, those are the counties that will probably be the most affected. So this could be, you know, we've seen a lot of new litigation that's coronavirus related. This could be a game changer, and the judge is going to hear them out tomorrow at 1 o'clock and decide whether or not schools should be placed on a temporary delay, and no one should be able to reopen unless he finds a criteria to allow them to reopen by the end of August.
So the decision will come down tomorrow too. They won't just be before the judge, but he'll also decide it.
They're going to argue it tomorrow. I would probably, since it's an emergency hearing, they'll expedite when they will issue that, if they're going to, or they're going to deny it. Probably that will come Thursday or Friday, because you've got a lot of schools that are having teachers are going to start reporting back on Monday. You've got school opening dates of August 17th is the earliest one I've seen. More of them are the 24th and the 31st. So if the judge is going
to— Manatee County is the 17th.
Right. So if the judge is going to do something where he's going to force the schools to not reopen in certain areas and make that kind of criteria that I described, he's going to have to do it very quickly and make a decision. Because while this is all going on, this lawsuit will then move forward, and he'll hear the merits of the lawsuit overall and whether or not this should be a statewide mandate until we get the coronavirus under control. So this will be a temporary halt if he does issue the injunction for the dates that are coming up in the end of August. Whether it happens further on down the line, that's going to be the second part of the lawsuit.
And then once he makes his decision, let's say he decides that different school districts have to meet this criteria, lower than 10% positivity rate for two consecutive weeks and all the rest. If the state wants to appeal that, where does it go from there?
Then it will go straight to the, I believe, the District Court of Appeal in Miami, where the case is being— the case was filed in Miami-Dade, so it will go to their stated Court of Appeals down there. And again, they're going to have to move very quickly on this. Now, the governor, you know, the governor's going to be the one wanting to appeal. He's been pushing for the schools to reopen, and you know, he may get different reactions at different courts of appeal. So this one will go through that one. I believe it's the third or fifth district, I'll have to check. But in any event, if he gets a ruling there, then he could, if they say that, no, we're going to keep the schools closed, He still has the Florida Supreme Court to go to, which we know is very favorable towards him on these types of issues. We saw the felon voting rights thing where they were the only ones that sided with him in the whole debate over felon voting rights. I can see them doing the same thing with the school reopening plans if it gets that far.
Boy, this could really upend the school reopenings all across the state.
Right.
Because for the most part, aside from Miami-Dade, everywhere else, correct me if I'm wrong, and I think you mentioned this earlier, you're talking about potentially opening up around the 24th or the 31st of August, and the school districts have given parents the option whether or not they want to send their kid to school or they want to hold them back and do some form of virtual learning. So there's going to be kind of a combination of that going on. But if this lawsuit that was filed by the teachers union, if it's successful, it would put a halt on any school district's reopening plans if that district doesn't have a 10% or less positivity rate for two straight weeks, and they have to get all the protocols in place for the sanitization and the guidelines in terms of, I guess, what, social distancing, face masks,
right,
all of that.
Okay, and also changing lunch routines, sanitizing school buses because we have the busing issue.
Yeah.
And this, it's going to have the most impact for districts that have in-person learning, which every district is offering. But the numbers are different district by district. Some districts have, you know, 73-75% of students want to return to in-person learning. Mm-hmm. Some counties it's down around 50%. I've seen some counties where it's down around 30% and 40%. So that's going to be a big variable in all this. Is the judge will have to consider what plans do they have in place? How far is he willing to mandate this? And again, the judge may step back and say, look, this is a school district issue. You all individually have to deal with this. And the courts are not going to get involved in this because technically that is the way the school districts have jurisdiction over their own students. The fact that they've made this a statewide issue and it's going to be decided in the midst of a public health emergency, this is the game changer in the whole thing, because a lawsuit like this has never been brought before to completely shut down the school districts at the start of the school year.
Now, what if they're not successful at a statewide level? Can they then go file lawsuits or injunctions in the certain school districts they don't feel are ready to open up according to, you know, their guidelines, what they're looking for?
It's a possibility, because there may be school districts that don't care about this lawsuit and say, we're going forward and we're ready to open. So it may come down to where somewhere like here in Hillsborough or Pinellas County may say, we're fine, we'll figure it out as we go along, you know, and move forward our reopening plans. Other counties may go along with it, the teachers union. And then you have the teachers that the teachers union is representing, because there are a lot of them that are not comfortable with going back to class under these kind of open conditions, if you will, even though they have reopening plans. They want to see something more concrete like this. The Pinellas County Teachers Union today, even though they got their safety agreement, the caveat to the story is we would still rather the schools stay closed until we get the cases, the coronavirus cases drop below that 10% positivity rate. So there
well, see,
you have
Pinellas County. Of all the districts in our area, Pinellas would probably be the one that would be ready to go at the start of the school year. Maybe Pasco, too, looking at the numbers. Hillsborough is kind of right on the cusp. And then I think you would have Polk County. That's where it might get a little difficult. They're a little bit, you know, higher in terms of the positivity rate out of the local counties. I've got the Pinellas Teachers Union agreement, the agreement they reached with the school district. And here's a couple of items from this agreement. It's not going to be up to teachers to enforce the rules if students refuse to wear a mask in the classroom. Instead, school administrators are going to work to educate kids on the importance of masks. If the student still doesn't comply, parents will get involved in a discussion. And from there, school administrators could choose to reassign a student to online classes if they don't comply. I got to be honest, I think businesses like the Walmarts and the Publixes of the world, there's too much of an option still left when these are mandates. It needs to be, look, this is what we're doing. Either get on board or learn from home. But you're not coming to school and not wearing your face mask. And I'm looking at, have you seen the pictures of this Georgia school that opened up, that reopened.
Was it a bunch of...
There's a picture of the kids in the hallway, and most of them aren't wearing face masks, and they're all packed together. Ugh.
I saw another one on NBC News, I think today, where it was a group picture of some... I think it was like an all-girls school or an all-girls team, and there was like at least 100 people in the picture, and none of them had masks on, and they were literally arm-in-arm with one another.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble if we go down that road. You're asking for a super-spreading event to come out of one of these schools, and it's going to mess it up for everybody. You're going to have, you know, a handful of kids maybe that don't want to wear the face mask, and it could screw up the whole thing for all the other kids, all the other teachers. I mean, it could be really, really disruptive.
And then you have the parents that are probably be very forceful about whether or not they will allow their kids to wear a mask, or are they going to push back on that. And I wouldn't be surprised if a group of parents gets together and files a lawsuit about the face covering
issue. Well, look, if you don't want your kid to wear a face mask, if you don't think they should, then keep them at home. Then do the distance learning. They don't have to wear a face mask. It's as simple as that. Just like, I'm tired of this. Just like if you don't want to wear a mask going to the store, you know what? Get your groceries delivered. Find another way. But the majority of people, we're talking 70-80% of people are adhering to the guidelines, and this 20% that keeps screwing around, they're making it so much harder on everybody else, and they're putting everything at risk, whether it's reopening schools in person, the economy. There's too much at stake here. 800-969-9352 is the number. Let's get a quick call in here. I'm joined by a mom of school kids from Clearwater. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Ryan, I love your show. I love Mr. Vega and all his legal experience. Quickly, I just want to say, I have kids in school in Pinellas County, Clearwater High specifically. Okay. I live in an intergenerational household. These kids need to go back to school. The risk is very low. Why are you, Ryan Gorman, who have zero kids in school, do not live in an intergenerational household? You have no frame of reference here, to quote the Big Lebowski. Why are you advocating for the small, very, very small, minuscule percentage of teachers that are making us think about this?
Well, it's not a minuscule amount. It's not. Well, let me stop you there, because it's not a minuscule amount. Teachers filled out the survey. It wasn't a minuscule amount. It wasn't even close.
What was
just like with parents,
teachers that said they didn't want to go back?
The percentage, what was it, Felix? Was it 60-40 they wanted to go back? I think it was somewhere around there.
Somewhere.
And then it was...
So most teachers... Okay, so minuscule is the wrong word. Most teachers want to go back. Do you know how many kids who have a disability are not getting the services that they need right now? Speech and language therapy, physical therapy. Do you know how many kids are not getting nutritional services? Do you know how many instances of domestic violence?
I don't know what your point is, though. I'm not saying not to reopen the schools.
In violent, dangerous situations.
I'm not saying not to reopen the schools. Yeah, but I'm not saying don't reopen the schools. How am I advocating that? I'm literally not advocating that. I'm saying it needs to be left up to the school districts.
Well, exactly. And so Pinellas...
Okay, so we agree.
We're opening.
So we agree.
So I just wanted to make...
Well, you might not be. It depends on what this... It depends on what this ruling is.
You're saying like there's going to be this micro outbreak and all this. And there's not.
There will absolutely be outbreaks resulting from the reopening of schools. There's no question about it.
Kids are not getting this virus, and they're not spreading the virus.
Let me ask you this real quick, Ma. Let me get a word in here. Let me ask you this.
I just picked three of them up from football, by the way.
So you.
They're in the car with me.
So you're telling me that I really shouldn't have an opinion on kids going back to school because I don't have kids.
I'm saying I don't really necessarily know what I'm talking about because I don't have kids.
But let me ask you this. Ma, hang on. Let me ask you this.
If you continue to amplify the panicked minority, It's not a panicked minority.
The country is pretty split on this.
Okay, hold on, Ryan, because I'm a real person with real kids in real school.
No, I understand.
You guys, how many kids on the football team got coronavirus? One, One kid out of 80, literally 80 kids on the football team got coronavirus. None of the kids got it from him. Zero.
Okay. Zero. Well, that's one this instance. That's data. That's called anecdotal evidence. That's not called. See, here's that my question for you. Ma, let me get a word in, Ma. I feel like I'm talking to my own mom. I can't. She keeps interrupting me. I can't say anything. Let me ask you this.
Because you're not. Arguing me. I'm giving you facts, and you're trying to argue.
You're really not. Are you? Oh my God, I can't. The question I want to ask: are you a public health expert? Are you a scientist? Are you a scientist?
I'm
asking you the question. Are you a public health expert? Are you a scientist?
No.
Answer my question. Ma, answer the question. Mom, answer the question.
Are you a public health expert?
Answer my question. I answered yours. Are you a public health expert or a scientist?
What?
Yes or no?
I am a data analyst.
Answer my question. You called the show. Now you have to answer my question. Are you a public health expert or a scientist?
I am a data analyst.
Are you a public health expert or a scientist who studies infectious diseases to know how this disease spreads among kids? That's the question. Are you that?
I'm giving you a real, actual occurrence. One kid
You're giving me anecdotal evidence. I could give you what happened in Georgia at the summer camp. What happened in Georgia at the summer camp? What happened in Israel at the schools that opened up? I can give you a bunch of different examples that prove what you're saying isn't accurate. You see what I'm saying?
What I'm telling you is you've only heard about these two instances.
No, not two. I can give you a whole list of them.
One kid might get it, and no other kid get it.
Well, thank you for the call. I got to run. We're running really late here. I got to go. But thank you for the call, Mom. I appreciate it, even though it didn't feel like much of a discussion. I was trying to have it back and forth, but she kept talking. Here's the thing. Sadly, we're going to have an answer soon because the schools are going to reopen, kids are going to go back, and we'll know. And unfortunately, I'm not happy about this. I hope this isn't the case. Unfortunately, what's going to happen is I'm going to be proven right. Just like every step of the way throughout this pandemic, I've been proven right. Everything that I've told you we need to do or is likely to happen has happened. It's going to be the same here. Unfortunately, there are going to be kids who will be in school with the virus. They will spread the virus around, and there will be community spread as a result. It's inevitable. So just to recap that last call, it started out so nice.
I know.
So many compliments, both to me and then really to you, your legal analysis and all of that. So she's very complimentary of the show. And then it kind of devolved from there. Look, again, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think there's any question we're going to see community spread once schools reopen. And here's the difference between the United States and some other places where schools have reopened and they've been able to handle the reopening of schools a little bit better. We have a much bigger outbreak underway at the same time we're about to reopen the school. We don't have the virus under control here. In Israel, they had it under control a bit better than we do, and they still had outbreaks at their schools that led to the closing of schools. You're going to see schools open up and you're going to see them close back down. That's going to happen. And I don't even think there's a question that's going to happen. It's how are we going to handle those types of situations? And you can go off of the Clearwater Mom's anecdotal evidence that she has a kid that plays on the football team and one kid among the 80 or so, I think she said, that play on the football team had it and nobody else got it. Of course, that's also not like in school, an in-school type situation, a little bit different football practices and things like that. But okay, you can go off of that, or you can go off the CDC study that was published and released out of the Georgia summer camp that really took a look at the situation and saw massive spread among kids, even younger kids, where it's less likely they're going to spread the virus. So I'm going to lean with the CDC data, and I'm not an expert at this stuff, but I look to the experts. I study what they say. I study what they read. That's my job. Like some talk show hosts, they just go on and they say whatever and don't really care if they're right or wrong or if they know what they're talking about. I spend all day researching the stuff that we're about to talk about on the show. And I've been fortunate enough to interview some of the best experts, people who have studied this stuff their whole lives. Okay, they know how this type of public health issue works. And there's just no question. Unfortunately, we are going to reopen the schools. And I think we have to. And I think the decision should be made at a school district level. Like, I have no problem with Miami-Dade delaying the reopening of in-person learning for a while because they just have an entirely different situation down there than we have here in Pinellas. That's why I said it shouldn't be a mandate from the federal government, from the president. It shouldn't be a mandate from Governor DeSantis. This has to be made at a school district level. It's one of those kinds of decisions. And if you look at all the surveys that have come in, and they've done massive surveys in the Tampa Bay area, surveys of teachers, surveys of parents, and it is very split. I think in Hillsborough County, it was like 51% of parents didn't want to send their kids back. 49% did. The teacher numbers, maybe it was 64. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was close to that. You've got a slight majority of teachers that want to go back and do the in-person learning, but you've got a lot of teachers that don't, and it's not like we have this abundance of teachers available if you have a bunch that are at risk and they don't want to go back in. You have to make plans to deal with that kind of situation. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of variables to take into consideration. You want to send your kid back to school, then fine. Then send them back. That's great. I would hope that you would go along with the guidelines that are being put in place by the school districts, like the wearing of face masks while in school and pushing your kids to make sure they follow those guidelines and they're sanitary and they're careful with what they do so they don't bring it home or spread it at school. But this is not an easy decision one way or another. I never made it out to be an easy decision, and I never said don't reopen the schools. It just has to be done the right way. And my point all along has been, when the argument was, we got to reopen, we can't reopen, we got to reopen, we can't reopen, it was, we're going to reopen. How are we going to do it? What's the procedure going to be like to ensure safety and to limit the damage that comes from reopening the schools?
And that's why the school districts have been so careful to have different ways to reopen and giving parents the choice. Do they want to come back full-time, you know, in person? Do they want to do the virtual with the live streaming with the teachers, which has never really been done before? You have, you know, in-person or you have virtual learning, but the virtual learning, which I learned in this whole process over the past few weeks, have been around for some time, and it's basically, you know, there are classes that you take. You don't have an in-person teacher, per se.
Yeah.
You do online, you know, coursework like you would do for a university or something. But I think there's just, you hit the nail on the head when you said there's a lot of moving parts because there's too many variables that you can plan for everything, but there's going to be one thing that one district doesn't think of, or in terms of, you know, keeping the bathrooms clean all day. How do you monitor, you know, a hall pass to send someone to the bathroom? Do they got to tighten up on all that stuff? You can't have, you know, kids wandering around schools, whether you have indoor or outdoor access. It's a big...
I'll tell you this. If schools reopen the way this Georgia school did that I'm looking at here with the kids in the hallway, and that looks like either a middle school or a high school, forget about it. It's going to be a disaster because, I mean, you can't have that. This is embarrassing, the pictures that I'm seeing from this school. It's got to be done better than that. But this is a very personal decision. You know, your kid might be okay to go back. Another person's kid might have asthma.
Right.
They might have some kind of underlying condition that, you know, we're talking life or death here. Okay? This is a very personal decision for parents. So I'm in no position to make that decision for them. My advocacy has been to give parents the choice. And when we reopen the schools, to make sure the protocols are in place, that they're well thought out, so that we can ensure the safety as best we can for students, faculty, teachers, bus drivers, all of it. There's a lot going into this. This is, you know, it's not easy. None of this is easy. Feels like some people just want it. They find it to be like an inconvenience and they just want it over. That's not what this is. This is not easy. It is inconvenient. This is a massive challenge. And I just wish it sometimes it really frustrates me. It just feels like America's not up to the challenges that we face sometimes anymore, that we just can't do it. We can't handle it. And if we just had the buy-in from the beginning, if people took it seriously when we were telling people to take it seriously back in March, if the shutdown had happened when we said, if people had worn the face mask when we said, then we'd be in a better position right now. But that didn't happen. I don't know how many times I came on the air and said, we got to do this. We got to do that. If we don't do it, this is what's going to happen. We didn't do it. That's what happened. It's so frustrating to me sitting here day in and day out, seeing the mess that we made. Ugh. And that's why I can't. I've got a couple of stories about this face mask nonsense, and I just can't. I was telling Morgan last night, I decided over the weekend, I was thinking about going to Publix. I decided, you know what? Let me get my groceries delivered. I don't need that much. I did not want there to be an instance where I walked into that store and somebody didn't have a mask on, because there's no way I was going to be able to hold back. I would have opened my big freaking mouth and it would have been a scene, and I didn't want to even put myself in that position. Because I think here in Hillsborough County and Pinellas County, it's better. For the most part, everybody's doing it. But I have family members back in Hernando County. They're going into Publix. There's always one, two, three people in the store not doing it, which I got to tell you, so freaking outrageous. These people, they think they're like the center of the universe, that the sun revolves around them. You have no right to just ignore a company policy like that, to just flaunt it. No right whatsoever in the Constitution, morally, nothing. Nothing's on your side when you decide to do that. It's so infuriating to me. I didn't intend to get this worked up on the show tonight. It all kind of spiraled out of control.
You never do.
I know. It just happens organically for some reason. Wait, James, I can't read that. Go ahead. What did you see?
I just want to piggyback back on what you were saying. I see people here in Tampa. I was at a Publix, and so you have to wear a mask in Publix. So people walk through the door, they check the mask on the face. As soon as they get through, the mask comes off.
I haven't seen that. In Hillsborough County, it's not just Publix with the mandatory face mask rule. The county has the rule.
Right.
So there are two rules.
So it just makes me so angry.
I know. That's why I didn't want to go. I didn't want to. I'm telling you, if there was one person, I wouldn't have been able to keep my mouth shut. I would have been so frustrated seeing that. It's just so rude. And I wish these stores, I know it puts the employees in an awkward position, but I'm telling you, I wish they would just do the no checkout thing. You walk in the store, you shop without a mask, you are not getting checked out. Don't even bother. And if they try to leave with the groceries, then there you go. You got them on. What charge can we bring them up on there?
Shoplifting.
If they're trying to walk. There you go. Simple. If you don't put consequences in place, people are just going to ignore the rules. There's going to be a handful of people who just flaunt them. You can't say we have a mandatory face mask policy and then not do anything about it. They know that, and they're going to say the hell with it. I'll do what I want. You got to have some kind of penalty in there. Has to be.